It's River to River on Iowa Public Radio News. Good afternoon, I'm Clay Masters.
Percent of Iowa 6th, 8th, and 11th graders reported being bullied at school in some way in the past 30 days, according to the 2012 Iowa Youth Survey, compared to 50% in 2010. And we hear anecdotes from towns like Sioux City, where the movie Bully was filmed. That's where a boy named Alex was bullied so badly that his parents decided to move their family to a new school in a new state. To try and curb these statistics, to help prevent cases like the one in Sioux City, last November, Governor Terry Branstad held the second Governor's Bullying Prevention Summit in Des Moines. The purpose of the event was to look at practical steps we can take to shift the culture and perhaps improve Iowa law to better prevent bullying. In the second half of today's show, we'll learn from lawmakers and school representatives to find out what is being done in the months since the summit and what legislation is being considered. But first, here are some of the stories from students and experts who spoke at the summit back in November. One of the first stories of the day came from Sarah Brown Wessling, a high school teacher in Johnston, Iowa. That's a suburb of Des Moines. She's the 2010 National Teacher of the Year and teacher laureate for Teaching Channel. She emphasized the difference between standing up and standing by and recounted a story from when she was 10 years old.
And my younger brother at the time was at the back of a softball diamond. We were at a softball game. And I saw some kid pick on my little brother. And so I promptly marched myself right over to Johnny Jackson. That was his name, Johnny Jackson, I still remember. And I remember my parents saying that I put my finger on his chest and I told him to never do that to my little brother again. And in some ways, I suppose this is standing up and not standing by. But I don't think it's the kind of, I don't think it's everything that happens when we stand up and not stand by. I think that that's kind of the actions. It's some of those things that we see. But I think standing up is really not about going to a little kid and putting my finger in his chest, but about changing a mindset. I think that's what we need to do when we stand up. So standing up isn't always easy, but I think there are three things that we can do when we want to do this. It's first of all, the product of 1,000 little decisions. It's never just one big decision, right? It's always the accumulation of so many more. I think the first thing we have to do is we have to get past the fear when we want to stand up. You know, when you're in this moment, right? You see things, you're in a public place, you know that something is not right there, and you get that feeling, you know that feeling in your gut, and you think, this isn't right, what am I going to do? And it's kind of this instantaneous fear, and I think what we have to do is we have to figure out how to get past that fear. And the question that I always ask myself is, what would I do if I weren't afraid? What would I do if I weren't afraid? And when I can answer that question, I'm ready for the second thing that we do to stand up. And that's to find your words. You know, it's one thing to know it's time to stand up, and it's another thing to have the words in which to do it. And that's what events like this are for. It's for the time in which we get to find those words that are so important to us, the ones that we can use and recall in the moment when we can't really think as clearly. The third thing, and I think this is probably the most important, is that we have to be able to let our actions teach us empathy. If there is one thing that is so important to me when I think about the students that I see every day, when I think about my own children, I think about the importance of teaching them empathy. Because when we are empathetic to another person, we don't just feel sorry for them, we don't feel sympathy for them, we see ourselves in them. And that's what empathy is. That's what standing up is all about.
That's high school English teacher Sarah Brown Wessling, who spoke at the Governor's Bullying Summit last November. We are listening to stories and conversations from the summit today on River to River. And our next speaker is a student from Edina, Minnesota. Here is Christina Wagner talking about her experience as a victim of cyberbullying.
In eighth grade, my best friend from elementary school had moved back. Now, we were closer than ever right away, and I was super thrilled to have her back in my life, until she found a better option. popularity. So many of us strive to be in the it crowd. But really, is it worth it? She started to treat me completely different, and I could tell right away the friendship wasn't going to last. She started spreading rumors like they had in sixth grade. She started treating me differently, and because I wasn't morally ready to do the things that these popular girls were ready to do, she and the other girls made fun of me. So, this became a big issue. Social media, obviously, is a big part of our lives. And although I was bullied in the hallways, social media was a big form of it. But when I finally ended our friendship after I couldn't take it any longer, it was at a hockey game. She had been spreading a horrible rumor about me, and at that point, I knew it was done. She wasn't my friend, and I couldn't handle it. So I sent her a text message, a very long, yes, strongly worded text message. But I stood up for myself, and I was proud. And when she didn't respond, I continued to send it. So finally, after four times, I gave up. But the following Monday, I was reported into the office. I had been reported for harassment. This text message got me reported. Standing up for myself got me reported. Now, I was surrounded in a room full of six adults. Meanwhile, my parents had not been contacted. They had no idea what was going on. So I was in a room with six adults. The vice principal, principal, dean of students, school cop, and two counselors. I remember the dean of students looking me into the eye and telling me I was a mean person and that I was hurting people and it wasn't okay. And meanwhile, they didn't even ask for my side of the story. I was trying to stand up for myself, and I know I probably didn't do it in the best way, but they didn't care either way. So, skipping ahead to the rest of the school year, she decided to get all the girls in her friend group to come up with a lie. And they all thought of a crazy lie about me and reported it to the office. These included things like physical threats, or that I actually did harm them. They would spread horrible rumors. They came up with a random one about my sexuality, which was completely false. And this totally snowballed into this big mess. At this point, I was so done. My parents and I decided I needed to get out of there because there was nothing we could do anymore. So I switched schools. In my city, there are two middle schools, so I switched to the other one. There, I found a great new group of friends. But the bullying didn't stop. The same group of girls decided to use social media specifically to target me. They would post horrible things online. They would do things that I just couldn't fathom doing. And so finally, after this girl, her sister had started bullying my younger sister, that was it. I was so done. By ninth grade, my past issues had gotten worse, and I had developed an eating disorder. All of these things trickled down into the worst imaginable things. But through all of this experience, a lot of positive came out of it. This is the part of the story I like to tell. Okay, so last year, my sophomore class had a passion project, and we were to pick an issue we were passionate about and do something with it. And I took it leaps and bounds further than anybody else. I connected myself with Pacers National Bullying Prevention Center and started a youth group called the Faces of Change. From there, I had all these amazing opportunities. I've spoken to leadership groups, I've attended Days at the Capitol, I even testified in front of our Senate committee in Minnesota to support a bill that unfortunately didn't pass, but we have next year. So I've done all of these great things. But now I have a couple pieces of advice for you. All of you students out there, I mean, parents and teachers, you've heard all day what you can do. But the students in this room have the most power. By sitting in a chair right now, you're showing the amazing leadership you already have. But we can do more. We need to stand up and speak up more than we currently are. Standing up can be the absolute hardest thing that you do. But coming from someone who experienced bullying, had I had someone that stood up for me, it would have made the biggest difference. It takes one word, and that's stop. All you have to say, go in the middle and say, stop, that's not okay. They're gonna look at you funny, but it's probably gonna end it. And then you need to speak up and tell an adult. We don't like admitting that we rely on adults, but I know I do. Now, this is the hardest thing I'm going to tell you today. You often hear, oh, it gets better. Okay, but when? And this is the when. It gets better when you want it to. Had I stepped in my own situation, maybe I wouldn't be here to talk to you today, but I wouldn't have experienced the things that I did. It gets better when you want it to get better. If you want it to get better for yourself, it's going to. If you want it to get better for someone else, step in and it's going to. So that's my biggest piece of advice for you today. I want to thank you for being here, each and every single one of you, but don't let it end here. Take it back to your school and your homes and do something about it.
You just heard from student and bullying prevention advocate Christina Wagner, who spoke about her experience with cyberbullying at Governor Branstad's Bullying Prevention Summit last year. We are listening back to some stories and conversations that took place at the event this hour on River to River. And coming up, we'll hear from lawmakers and school administrators to see what bullying prevention measures are being considered at the Iowa State House. But first, before the break, let's listen back to one more conversation from the summit. Here is a question set before a panel of Iowa high school students. They were asked, where do parents fit in? Do you think parents understand what bullying is all about today and the extent of bullying that takes place in the cyber world?
Well, what parents need to understand is that, yeah, a lot of bullying now takes place on the computer, but the main issue that is seen from my point of view is that parents aren't reading the signs from their kids. They're not listening to them when they say this is an issue, because the next thing you know, something could be going terribly wrong. And if you would have just taken the time to see those small signs that something isn't going right. Parents are there to instill the values on their children. And now the education system is kind of being forced to pick up some of those things that the parents might have left out or set a bad example for. But the most important thing overall is that parents need to understand that their children are not as innocent as they say they are. Time after time, I would see in high school someone that has been bullied or a bully, their parents will march into the school and go right to the principal or superintendent's office, and they'll try and make a case for their students when clearly we know something was wrong. It also, try listening to the other kids, not just yours. You need to get a big perspective on what's really going on before you can help your child to be a better citizen.
To add to the cyberbullying piece, show of hands, how many of you have a device with you right now? Yep, that's what I thought. Okay, right now, each and every single one of you, at the touch of a button, has the power to do something extremely positive or something extremely negative. Through my experiences, cyberbullying was a big part of it. It's so much easier to hide behind a computer or a phone screen than actually going up to somebody and saying what you mean to say. And I think, and I'm sorry, students, but I'm going to say it, parents, you need to be more aware of what your kid is doing on social media. And that's the truth. And students don't want to hear that. They don't. They want their freedom. But you need to be there. It's okay to monitor it, especially because my younger sister, being a sixth grader, she's had an Instagram account for 2 years now. And it's just crazy because generations are using it at much younger ages now. So we need to be more careful about how we use it. And as schools, they need to work better at creating policies. Because, yeah, maybe it doesn't happen on school, but it will bring an issue to school.
You just heard several stories from the Iowa Bullying Prevention Summit that occurred last November. Coming up in the second half of the show, I'll sit down with lawmakers and school representatives to find out what is being done in the months since the summit and what legislation is being considered. I'm Clay Masters. You're listening to River to River on Iowa Public Radio. We'll be right back.